July 27 to August 2, compiled by Dave Humphrey from the archived newspapers held at the Cranbrook History Center and Archives. 1918. For sale. 1917 Chevrolet, in first-class shape, price $600. Apply to J.E. McDonald, Cranbrook Pool Room. Hearty response needed. A call has been sent out by Mayor Clapp to all loyal citizens to assemble in the City Hall on Sunday afternoon, August 4, at 4 o'clock to reaffirm their resolution to stand behind their fighting men in the great war now raging in Europe until victory is attained. Although the war is being fought out in Europe, it is worldwide in which all the civilized nations are engaged. Canada has taken a prominent part in the war, and no army corps engaged has shown greater valor nor gone over the top with greater success than the Canadians. Canada has enlisted more than 500,000 men, and more than 385,000 of these have crossed the ocean already, and more are on the way. Canada has 4 divisions on the fighting line and is determined to maintain these at full strength. A year ago, according to a statement made by Sir R.L. Borden, Prime Minister of Canada, the war strength of the Canadians in the field was steadily shrinking because voluntary enlistment in infantry battalions did not keep pace with the wastage. In November, the normal rate of the wastage was tremendously increased by the heavy losses at Passchendaele. The successful assault upon the ridge cost Canada 25,000 men. Despite all of this, the Canadian strength at the front is 35,000 in excess of what it was 12 months ago. Our women folk have stood manfully and heroically and steadily behind our splendid and noble body of men in the trenches, and by their work through their various organizations stiffened the resistance of the men enlisted and raised their courage to the height of heroism. The resolution to be submitted to the meeting reads as follows. Resolved that on this anniversary of a righteous war, this meeting records its inflexible determination to continue to a victorious end the struggle in maintenance of those ideals of liberty and justice which are the common and sacred cause of the Allies. Let there be a hearty response to this call from the Mayor of Cranbrook. Wilson returns. W. H. Wilson, the jeweler, returned on Saturday from 7 weeks' visit to the East, combining business with pleasure. While away, he took a postgraduate course in the scientific section of the American Optical Association. A picture of the graduates was taken, and he had the honor of holding up the Canadian flag over the group. He visited Winnipeg, St. Paul, Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, Hamilton, and his old hometown of Farnham, Quebec. Mrs. Wilson and daughter Jean have remained behind for about another month, in Mrs. Wilson's hometown, Knowlton, K. Accepts responsible position. L.P. Sullivan, proprietor of Sullivan's Quick Print, has been offered a responsible and remunerative position with the Fernie Ledger, and after due consideration has accepted the offer. Mr. Sullivan has been identified with the printing and publishing business in Cranbrook for 14 years, 11 years on the Herald, and 3 years as head of the Sullivan Quick Print. Familiarly known as Sully, he was spoken as a good scout, and his many friends are sorry to see him pull out. He is not going far away, however, and his good old Irish mug, out of which has poured the witticisms of the Emerald Isle like a flood, will not become strange to us. We wish him every success in the Coal and Coke City of the Crow's Nest. J.P.S. Cracked a nut? A very confusing case requiring the skill of a Solomon was straightened out by J.P.S. Hill and Harry White on Monday when Mrs. Rosaline Menny had her son-in-law up before the beak on a charge of stealing her cayuse. The case was dismissed for lack of evidence, no prima facie case having been established. Both prosecutor and accused were admonished, and the family troubles smoothed o'er. G.J. Spruill defended the case. Blood transfusion? Mrs. Walden McKay has received word from her husband, who is connected with the Field Ambulance Corps at the front, that he has given up a pint of his blood for infusion to save the life of a comrade. He has been in the hospital for 3 weeks and is to have a furlough of 3 weeks more at the seashore to recuperate. Fantastic bathing. A large number of Cranbrook people spent Sunday at Green Bay, Cranbrook's fashionable summer resort. It was a great day for bathing, and when the bunch hit the water, the tide began to come in and rose a foot before the bathers could catch their breath. famous Bostonians to appear August 8. That the famous Bostonians are to return to the Auditorium Theater, Thursday, August 8 will no doubt be welcome news to local playgoers. This clever organization of youthful talent has long been one of the favorite attractions playing in the West. In fact, it might be said that many of the older set of show fans have watched the girls grow up, as many of the members were mere infants when the company first appeared here. It can hardly be said that the Bostonians are better than ever, as this trite press agent slogan would be casting an aspersion on their untarnished record of 15 years. Sufficient to say that they are as good as ever, which means that those who see them next Thursday evening are going to have an evening of unalloyed enjoyment. The Girl from Over There, with clever Doris Canfield in the title role, is the vehicle which is being used this season to display the abilities of this bright bunch of feminine favorites, and it is said to be one of the best musical plays of the season. The score is chock full of musical gems, while the books abounds with snappy comedy put over in the inimitable Bostonian manner by the members of the cast, each of whom has a part which fits her like the proverbial glove. Several new faces will be seen with the company this season, including Joyce Butler, Deb Vandy, Jean Carroll, Maybelle Taylor and Lila Fox, all whom are said to be very pleasant performers. Stockbreeders Meeting. At the meeting of the Stockbreeders Association of Southeast Kootenay held in the City Hall on Saturday, July 27, there was an attendance of about 35 enthusiastic members. This association was formed for the purpose of stimulating and protecting the livestock industry of this district, extending from Canal Flats on the north to the international boundary on the south and from Kingsgate on the west to Fernie on the east. The support the association is meeting with from the stock breeders of the district showed the need of it and the amount of benefit to be derived from it. The most important business before the meeting on Saturday was the shortage of winter feed. The feed on the range is good yet, and cattle are in good condition for killing and can be disposed of at a fair price if too many are not offered at once. But if every stock raiser in the district were to offer, for sale, the cattle for which there is not enough winter feed, the result would be that the price would drop so low that, in the face of the fact that feed had to be purchased to keep these cattle over last winter, their sale at a low market would be ruinous to the owner. Then again, there is the larger and more unselfish view to take of the effect on the country generally in respect to conservation of food for the soldiers. If cattle cannot be wintered in good shape and have to be sacrificed this fall, the industry will be so crippled that it will take years to recover. The effect of this on the supply of food for the boys at the front is easily apparent. Great climate. Cranbrook has not only a glorious climate, but there are curative properties in its ozone for certain kinds of ailments. One of them we may mention is asthma. The brother-in-law of Malcolm Horry came from the prairies on the advice of his doctor to be cured of asthma, and there has been a wonderful improvement already. J.M. Doherty came from Alberta 2 years ago with a bunch of cattle and settled on Cherry Creek. His stock has increased and he is well satisfied with the change. Alberta was all right, but the winters were too severe. He is putting up a new home and sheds, fencing in his ranch and otherwise improving his property. The ranchers in his neighborhood had a splendid rain on July 23, which greatly improved vegetation. He renewed his subscription to the Herald. Returns from outing. Reverend Hillis Wright and family and Mr. G.P. Fink and family returned on Tuesday evening from an outing and fishing tour in the vicinity of Pincher Creek. They had a thoroughly enjoyable time, although they ran into a snowstorm and heavy rain that lasted for 2 days. It spoiled their fun a little, but it did the country thousands of dollars worth of good. The roads they found in splendid condition except in the neighborhood of Cranbrook. The political parties here seem to be in such a swampy condition that the best they can do in the road making is to corduroy. Methodist Church. Special services commemorating the fourth anniversary of the Great War will be held in the Methodist Church next Sunday, Reverend R.W. Lee conducting both services. The singing at the 11 a.m. service will be led by a junior choir, with Miss Eunice Parrott as soloist. Patriotic service at 7:30 p.m. Miss McBride will be the soloist. A hearty invitation is extended to all to attend these services. Kaffir Boys Coming. J.H. Balmer, noted English traveler, explorer and authority on South Africa, is coming to Chautauqua on the last night with his band of singing Kaffir boys from the heart of Africa. This attraction has been perhaps the biggest success upon the Chautauqua platform for many years. They appear in native costumes and their program is a song and story demonstration of life in the Dark Continent. The songs in English are mostly original and form a large part of the program. They are presented with perfect accent and enunciation, with clearness and beauty of tone and with such light and shade as is only heard in the great choirs of the country.